Today's shir is Masecht Saita Dav Chav Ches. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, Dav Chav Zayin on the Beis, the bottom of the Amid. We learned in the Mishnah, the Kshem Shemayim Bait Kim Oisai, just like the water of the Meisaita have an effect on the woman, so too they have an effect on the man. The only thing that wasn't clear in the Mishnah is who is the Oisai referred to? Oisleman. Who exactly is meant when the Mishnah said Oisai? Ilem Labal. If we're going to suggest it means the woman's husband, so ask the Gemara, Baal my Ovid. What did he do wrong that he should be punished? V'chitema. And if you'll say, suggest the Gemara, the Islebei Ovin, that if the husband has done an Avera, the Mayim Amorim will affect him, Batkele Mayim, says the Gemara, but that isn't true either, because Ki Isle Oven Bedidei, if the husband had also done an Avera, Batkele Mayim Ludido, would the foot water affect him? For Tanya, ask the Gemara, have we not learned that the Pasuk says, Venika Ishmi Oven,
if the husband is innocent, then the water will affect the wife.
If the man is not innocent, then it wouldn't affect his wife either. So how can we say that the Mishnah meant that just like the water works on her, it works on the husband? So of course, the Achronim ask a question. Yes, the man is not innocent. But the Gemara wanted to say, if the man is not innocent, just like it's the water is effective on him, on her, it'll be effective on her husband. But she did a very serious Avera. The Avera she did was that she was an Eshesish that had an inappropriate relationship, which we know carries with it a Chiv Mesa. But the husband, even if he did something wrong, doesn't mean that he did an Avera to the degree that he's Chayiv Misa. So why will we say that if the man is not innocent, he should be punished the same way as she is punished? So I saw that the Achroim say a beautiful teretz. We know that the Torah speaks about Edom Zomimim. And what does Edom Zomimim mean? That if somebody tries to say testimony about somebody else, and he couldn't have possibly say that testimony, he wasn't even here, the halacha is that what the sisim loikash is on molasses lochav. So what the Gemara means to say is, yes, it's very possible that the husband did not do a avera to the same degree that she did. But if he did an avera, and we're learning now that the mayim hamorim won't affect him, won't affect her. Why then the Bayim Marim are not effective? Why did he do such a terrible thing to bring his wife and take her through his whole procedure when he knows that he's not such a big tzaddik? And the fact that he did something like that, even if the original sin that he did is not a sin that necessarily carries with it a punishment of death, as we just described, but what he did do is something that was terrible to his wife. And that's why the Pasuk, that's what the Gemara was thinking, maybe he should be punished. But the Gemara says that that isn't the case, because if he's not guilt, if he's not innocent, then the halacha is the water won't work for her either. And I saw a fascinating Ramban. The Ramban says that not only if the husband did an Avera, is the water not going to be effective? But the Ramban says that let's say the husband did not bring up his family in the proper way. If the husband did not bring up his family in the proper way, he's also not considered an individual who's menukah ma'oven. Moreover, the Mishnah Lamelech has an interesting discussion. Yes, let's say the husband did an Avera, and we just learned in the Gemara that if he's not innocent, the Mayim HaMarim won't affect her. What would be the halacha if he did an aveira and he did tshuva on the aveira? So is he considered an individual who's menukami oven? Because we know the power of tshuva, and he did tshuva. Or is the reality that he did an aveira, and because he did an aveira, the mayim hamorim can't be effective? Mishnah Melech suggests that even though there is a tremendous power in tshuva, it still wouldn't change the reality. He's not menukah mi'oven. He's not innocent. And if he's not innocent, the mayim hamorim cannot affect his wife. But ask the Gemara, what does the Mishnah mean? El leboil. That means to say is that just like if the woman is guilty, she suffers a horrible death, not only will she suffer that horrible death, but her boil, the adulterer, will as well. But ask the Gemara, listen, kiriktani seifa. So if that's who the Mishnah meant in the Reisha, so ask the Gemara, just like in the Sefer that was explicitly stated, let the Reisha also say it, that it should say explicitly, k'shem shasur labal, kachasur labayil. Answers the Gemara, lo'olam labayil. It's still, the Gemara sticks to what it said, what the Mishnah meant to teach us was, that if they're not innocent, not only will the water affect her, it will affect the boil as well. So if that's the case, why didn't the Mishnah say so explicitly? Reisha ar d'tana oisa. In the Reisha, when we speak about the woman, we use the word oisa. So the corresponding word to oisa is oisa. And that's why the boil is referred to as oisa. The Sefer, either the Tana Baal, the Sefer, we're speaking about the husband, the corresponding word to Baal is boil. But indeed means that just like it affects the Mayim Ma'arim affect her, it affects him also. And I saw a fascinating makar, a fascinating source for a minig that many people we know have, and that is that when they want to wish a bracha, they drink a little wine, they drink a little whiskey, and they wish a l'chaim. And the question is that I'm drinking this, and how could my drinking help somebody else? So the Sar Shalom from Belz says it's actually learned from our Gemara. Because our Gemara says that just like she drinks the water, the suspected adulteress drinks the water, and it affects the boil. And we know that Mida Toiva is merubim in Mida Pronis. If something is could help by a negative, like our Gemara, that she drinks the water and affects the boil, the Mida Toiva, when we want to drink a l'chaim and make and say a bracha and wish well to other people, it certainly is effective. And that's why that's the makar I saw for drinking a l'chaim. I drink a l'chaim and I'm able to help you. I'm able to help you with my l'chaim. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah that Rabbi Kiva says that the reason the water could affect the boil, just like it could affect the woman, because the pasuk says ubo ubo. But the Gemara wants to drill down in trying to understand what does that mean. Iboiluhu, what does Rabbi Kiva mean? Is it from the fact that ubo ubo kamar, the fact that the pasuk uses the word ubo with that vav, and that vav is the source for learning, or bo bo kamar, or the fact that the Torah says the word bo twice is what causes Rabbi Kiva to come to this conclusion. Says the Gemara Tashma. Let's learn this from the Mishnah. The Brisa says, the Mishnah says, k'shem shasur labal, kach asur laboil. Shenema nema nitma v'nitma. So we see the v'nitma, the Rekiva is learning it from the Vav. Ask the Gemara, abayin tabayin, but that Mishnah is also not really clear. Because the Mishnah is teaching that Mishnah taught us the halacha, that just like once she becomes a soita, she can't have relations with her husband, she can't have relations with the boil. But we're not sure how to learn that Mishnah. Is the focus on the word vav, or is the focus on the double lashon, nitma notma? V'dayin t'boi, the question still persists. How do we understand Rabbi Kiva's opinion? Nitma, nitma kamar, is his opinion based on the fact that the Torah used the word nitma twice? Or v'nitma v'nitma kamar? Again, the same question. Is it based on the Vav, or is it based on the repetition on the word? Toshma, midik tani sefer. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Omer, shnei pa'amim hamum v'pasha, nitma. The pasuk says the word nitma twice. Once it says v'kines ishtoi nitma v'hi nitma, and once it says v'tishta isha tachas isha v'nitma ech lebal v'ech leboil. So Rebbe is very clear in explaining that the basis of his limud is from the repetition of the word nitma. Rabbi Kiva, who disputes Rebbe. Obviously, Rabbi Kiva's opinion is based on Vavi Kadarish, on the letter Vav. Otherwise, why would be the machlokes of Rabbi Kiva and Rebbe? So says the Gemara, now that we've learned it this way, Hilchach, now that we learned that Rabbi Kiva is learning from the repetition from the Vav, Rabbi Kiva, so we end up having Shita Kroy, the six psukim that are available to be taught. The fact that the Torah says uvo the three times, the word bo, and the fact that the vav is added. Chad, one is coming to teach us l'tzava the day. The Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is telling us that, the Pasuk is telling us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a situation that the Mayim HaMamorim could affect her. The Chad and the extra vav, l'tzava the day, that the, as we learned at the beginning of our shiur today, that not only would the Mayim Hamarim affect her, it will affect the boil, affect the adulterer as well. Chad, the pasuk says, "V'hishkas imayim v'hoisim nitma v'tavam mishba v'timol mal beisha ovo hamayim l'sir the day." The pasuk is coming to teach us that if she's tamei, they will be effective. Chala see the day that the pasuk is coming to say that will be effective on the boil. Chad, the third time, where the pasuk says, Uvo ba mai mamorim eila, but my ayach, litzvois botan u leonfal yerach, la yedi the day. The Torah is telling us that even though the pasuk speaks about the order of how the water will affect her, the pasuk, the Tekoyin tells her, the first, her stomach will swell, and afterwards it will go to a thigh. And the pasuk is saying this because, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, to prevent us from having any question on the effectiveness of the Mayim HaMa'orim, because the pasuk speaks about the Yerech and the Botan, first the Yerech, so to explain exactly what's going to happen. And V'chad, and similarly, it's coming to teach us that the same will happen the day to tell him what's going to happen. And Taisus Shantz points out that in all these cases, we speak about her, about the woman, before we speak about the boil. And the reason we speak about the wife before we speak about the boil is because the parasha really is focused on her, the Rebbe who doesn't learn the Vav. Well, how will he learn the psukim that the Torah says the word bo'u three times? He's going to say tlosa krog sivi. We have three psukim. Chala tzava, one where HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the water that it should affect the woman. Chadla siya, the next is that if indeed she's not innocent, what the water will do what they do. Chadla yediya, to tell her exactly what's going to happen. But ask the Gemara, but Rebbe, according to Rebbe, Shaim Shabayim, the halacha that we began our shiur with today, that just like the water is effective on the woman, it's effective on the boil, menale, from where will he notice halacha? Says the Gemara, Nafgale, he learns it, the Meditanya, from what we learned in a brisa. The pasuk says, litzboi spaten olimpol yerach, lebitna v'yirecha shabayil. It's coming to tell us it'll affect the body of the adulterer. At the oimel bitna v'yirecha shaboyel, so ask the brisa, are we speaking about the adulterer. Maybe it means the body of the woman. Says the Gemara, when the Pasuk says already, later, when the Pasuk says, V'tafsa bitna, V'nafla yirecha, Harei bitna v'yirecha shel nevelas omer. Her body, what happens to her body, is already mentioned. So why do we also have to say, Mani mekayim, Litzboi spotin, V'limpa yerech? Obviously, it's come to teach us, Bitna v'yirecha shel boil, that affects him. V'idach, but Rabbi Kiva, who learned this from the Vav, what will he do with the repetition of these psukim of what happens to the body? Who the Maidalai Kayin, that the Kayin has to inform her that this is what's going to happen. That even though her body, the first part of the body is that the first part of the body that's did the aver is the yerach, but when it comes to the effectiveness of the water, it's on the beten first. So I saw that the Rambam explains it's not to tell her, because we already had a pasuk earlier that she is informed. What it means is to inform all the people who are sitting there, all the people who are there who are not aware of this, who are not aware of what's going to happen, now are going to be made aware of what's going to happen. The button bereisha for hada yireich, and the reason it's so important to for the kohen to publicize this, shloile hoitzi maz amayim hamorim, that nobody should come to say that the mayim hamorim aren't really effective. It says the Gemara vidach, Rebbe who used this pasuk to teach us that whatever happens to the woman is also going to happen to the adulterer. So where will he know that? From where will he learn that everybody is informed this? Im kein, licht of kro bitna virecha. If all the pasuk is coming to tell us what's going to happen, which should be enough, is say bitna virecha. Because as the Rishonim explained, the focus of the psukim, as we said earlier in our shir, is all about the woman. The man has only learned from the woman. Mai, why did the Torah also, when it speaks about exactly what's going to happen, not only speak about her, to also speak about him? My button v'yirech, shma mino leboil, that happens to the boil, v'yim lehochi osu, maybe that's what it's coming to say, im kein lemakol bitna v'yirechoi, my button v'yirech, which is not the Lashon Zohar, shma mino tarti, both that the water will affect him, and that we publicize that it will affect him. So we learned in the Mishnah, Amr Bishua, Kacha Yadarish Zacharya, Berek Tzav, that this is the way Rabbi Zechariah ben Ketzav taught us, that the Pasuk says Nitma two times, Echel Baal v'Echel Baal. Tarabonim, Shloisha Pa'amim, Hamur M'Parsha, the Torah uses the word Tuma three times in the Parsha of Saita. The Pasuk says, V'Hoysem Nitma, the Pasuk says, V'Kines Ishtoi V'Hi Nitma, the Pasuk says, Ashatista Isha Tachas Isha V'Nitma, Lama, why did the Torah tell us this pasuk three times? Echad Labal, to teach us that she can't have relations with her husband. From when she becomes a Saita, she may no longer have relations with her husband until she drinks the Mayim Arim. Echad, to teach us that if the husband divorced her or died prior to being able to drink the Mayim Arim, still, she remains leboil, that she still remains also to the boil, even though she's never going to drink the mayim marim, and if she'll never know that for sure what her status is, it doesn't make a difference. Because she didn't drink the may saita, that's the way she remains forever. And echad, latruma, I want to teach us that she's not allowed to eat truma ever, because her status wasn't confirmed. Divrei Rabbi Kiva, that's the way Rabbi Kiva comes to teach us. To teach us that let's say she was a bas kohen, and even if she was her husband was a kohen, she's disqualified from being able to eat truma. Others explain that why did Rashi say bas kohen and eishes kohen? To teach us that even though she's ostensibly Lari Truma. Because if her marriage to the Kohen is still in place, so then her husband's a Kohen. And if it fell apart, she's a Bas Kohen. That teaches us that because she's a Sofik Zoyna, we don't know what her status is, and she might have done this terrible thing, that's why she's permanently disqualified from eating Truma. Rabbi Shmuel, says Rabbi Shmuel, I don't need a Pasik to teach us that she can't marry a Kohen, that she can't eat Truma. I can make the following Kaima Chaima. Or Magrusha, if a Bas Kohen was married to Yisrael, and then they got divorced, and they didn't have children, so now she goes back to her father's home. Materas Latruma, she is a Lari Truma. But still, since she's a Grusha, the Loch is a Surul Kuna, she can never marry a Kohen. Zu, the Soita, that we just said is a Surul Batruma, because she's a soita whose status has not been determined, and it didn't shesur lakuna, I don't need a pasuk to teach her that she's also the kohen. The braisa continues in explaining the dinim of a soita. The pasuk says that when the husband warns the wife that she shouldn't have stira, the pasuk says, v'avalav ruach kina, v'kines ishtai, v'hi nitma, I have a love ruach kinav akinis ishtai fihilai nitma. The pasuk is speaking about a woman who became tamei and a case where she didn't become tamei. Ma tamaloimer. So ask the braisa vihi nitma. And what does it mean when it says vihilai nitma? Im nitma, if we know for sure that she did this act, salam ashaisa, why would she have to drink the mayim hamarim? We know that she's tamei. Im loy nitma, and if we know for certain that she's not Tamei, Lama Mashka, why would she drink the Mai Saita? We know that she's Tar. And a woman that we know who's Tar doesn't have to drink. It must be Magla Chakosif. What the Pasuk is coming to teach us is that her Suffolk, and we don't know her status, that she had Kina Estira, even though the woman has a Cheskas Tara, everybody has a Cheskas Tara. The Torah is teaching us that while she's a Soita, and until her status is clarified, she can't have relation to with her husband. So Tosfos asks, why do we need a Pasuk to teach us this? Of course, this is the Halacha. Isn't the Halacha that a Sofik Deraisa is L'chumra? So this woman is an Eishes Ish, on whom we have a Sofik, if she did this act of adultery or not, so we should be machmer. So the Chiddush Ran answers that yes, she's a Sofik, but if she can't drink the Mei Soita, we should be able to rely on the Cheskas Tara. It's only a woman, that's what the Pasuk is teaching us, that every woman, even though she has a Cheskas Tara, even if a woman has a Cheskas Tara, we cannot be lenient with such a woman until we actually are able to until we're able to make a full-fledged determination what is her true status. Mikan, says the Gemara, based on what we just learned, we learn from here a very important halacha for everywhere in halacha. Mikanat the don le sheretz. Here we learn for a situation regarding a sheretz. The sheretz, if there's a question, if somebody came in contact with a sheretz, we make the following kavachoyma. Mas soita, shaloi asa shogi kamezit. The halacha is that if a woman had relations with another man, b'shogig, unless the husband's a Kohen, but in other circumstances, she is permitted to remain with her husband. Only by Mezid, if she did this deliberately, can she not be with her husband. Or similarly, by Oynis Karatzin, as Oynis is not treated like Ratzin. But we're learning here, the Torah is teaching us, Osaba Sofik Kavadai, a woman who's a Sofik is not allowed to have relations with her husband until we know for sure. Sheretz, where we speak about a sheretz, where sheretz is much stricter. Even if somebody came in contact with a sheretz b'shogeg, it doesn't make a difference. Once she comes in contact with a sheretz, he is tamei. And the same thing on his kerotzen, and then she asks about sofik kavadai. That the halach is that sofik tuma is tamei. Says the Gemara, from here we learn many halachas of hilchas sofik by tuma. Makam shabasa. And from here, which this is the source to teach us the halach of Saita, we learn Mas Saita Rishus HaYachid. The entire story of a Saita takes place in Rishus HaYachid, where there are only two people. Because if there are more than two people there, then it's not considered Stira. That's where the Torah says that we have to be Machmer on a Safik. Af Sheretz, the question, if somebody has a question, if he came in contact with a Sheretz, is he Tamei or not? And we are machmer, that halacha will only be in a rishus hayochid. Mas soita davishesh by das lisho. A soita is a person who we could ask what happened. Af sheretz davishesh by das lisho. Only in a case where sheretz touched a person, and the person could be asked, did you or did you not touch the sheretz? That's when the halacha is that if there's a suffix in rishus hayochid, we're machmer. But if a sheretz touched the food or something else or a keli, which obviously we can't question them, what happened? There the halacha is that a sofik, if a sheretz came in contact, will not be tamei. If we have a question of sofik tuma with a human being that we can ask him what happened, and it also took place in Rosh Hashanah, that's when the halacha is sveika tamei, as that is the halacha by Saita, and b'shus harabim, as the halacha is by Saita, sveik b'tama. But it's a situation of ein by das lishol, as we just explained, where we can't ask the food or the keli that came in contact with the sheretz, did you, what happened? There the halacha will be the bein b'shus hayochid, bein b'shus harabim, whether it happened in b'shus hayochid, whether it happened in b'shus harabim, the halacha will be that it's tahor. Tosfos says that this halacha, that b'shus hayochid sveike tamei, b'shus harabim sveike tahor, that's even as we spoke about earlier. Even if there's a cheskas tara, even though there's a cheskas tara, it doesn't make a difference. The halacha is that where the Torah says that we're machmer on a sofik tuma, we're machmer on a sofik tuma even in a case of where there's cheskas tahara. The Gemara in Masechet Nazir defines rishus hayochid when we speak about halachos of sofik tuma, as we said earlier, as an area that has less than three people there, because the case of a saita is a case where we have two people there. However, many Mefarshim ask a question, because we learned on Daf Chavav, the Gemara says that a woman can become a Saita if she is alone with two men, if her husband specifically warned her not to be alone with those two men. So we see that there were a total of three people present in the room when the doubt occurred. And if the halacha is that if it's three people, if there's more than two people, why is she considered a saita? Obviously, from here we see that it's not two people and three people. Says the Beis Halevi in answer to this question, that in a case where the doubt occurs, that's not a case of sofik b'shus harabim. For example, he says, if there are two tamei people and one Torah person, when there was a doubt as to whether the Torah person came in contact with one of the Tamei people, we say he's Tamei. Now let's think about it. There were a total of three people. He says that the fact that there's another source of Tumah at the scene is only a cause to be more Machmer, not to be Mekel. So explains the Beis Halevi that even though we have a Halacha of Sofik B'Shus Rabim Tor, only
if the third person is not somebody that did it aveira with her. But in a case with a third person, where there's a question that there are two men and she might have done the aveira with any of those two men, that's when not is it not a reason to be makel, even though there's a total of three people there, it's a reason to be machmer. Our Gemara is the basis for a very famous machloikus rishonim. The halacha we know is that sofik deraisa l'chumra and sofik derabbanan l'kula. We have a sofik which involves a deraisa, we are machmer. When we have a sofik that involves a derabbanan, we're makel. But there's a machloikus Rambam and Rajba. This halacha of sofik deraisa l'chumra, is that a din midaraisa? That the Torah tells us that when you have a suffix, you have to be machmer? Or is the din a din de rabbonim? The Rambam holds that the halacha is that it's a din midrabbonim. And the Rajba learns that it's a din midaraisa. The Shev Shemaitza says that the Rambam, who says that the din of suffix deraisa l'chumra is a din midaraisa, is based on our Gemara. The Gemara says, Sofik Tumah B'Shus Rabbim Tahor. If the halacha is that Sofik Deraisa is always, we go L'Chumrah, so why would there be a difference between a B'Shus HaYochan and B'Shus Rabbim? Isn't this a situation of a Sofik Deraisa? So says the Rambam, the fact that the Torah told us that a Soita is a unique halacha, that we say it's a suffix and we're machmer, is the Torah saying that normally we're not machmer. This is the exception that even though it's a suffix and the Torah tells us that we can be makel by a suffix, it's only the Rabbanon who told us to be machmer. Here, the Torah says to be machmer. So when we learn this machloikus of the Rambam and the Rajba, we view the Rambam as the makel, that says that Sofik deraisa l'chumra is only a din derabbanan, and we look at the Rajba as the machmer, who says Sofik derabbanan, Sofik deraisa l'chumra is a din deraisa. But it's not necessarily always that case. There was a story where there was a couple who was having a dispute, and the husband said, I'm not going to be in the city that we live in together for Shabbos. And as Shabbos was approaching, he regretted what he said, and he wanted to go to the Rav to be matan neder, to be matan the Shvuah. But the halacha is that we can't be matan a neder or a Shvuah before it becomes effective. So the neder, the Shvuah that he made, that he's not going to be in the same city as his wife, only kicks in once Shabbos begins. So he wanted to go to the Rav, ready by Beina Shmoshes of Friday afternoon, Friday evening, and to ask the Rav to be Matan Neder, because it's already Shabbos. But why are we Machmer on Beina Shmoshes to treat it as Shabbos? So according to the Rajba, the time of Beina Shmoshes is Sofik Yom Sofik Laila. It's a question of it's still Friday already Shabbos. The Torah tells us that when you have a Sofik, we have to be Machmer. That's why we treat that time like a Shabbos. Midaraisa, we have to treat that time like a Shabbos. Because the Rajba learns that Sofik deraisa l'chumra is a din deraisa. But according to the Rambam, that Sofik deraisa, midaraisa is really l'kula. It's only the Rabbanan said, so then it isn't Shabbos according to the Rambam. Because it's only a time of Sofik. Since it's only a time of a Sofik, the Rambam holds that the Torah says that that time should be considered still Friday. So according to the Rajba, the Chacham could already be Matan Neder at that time. According to the Rambam, the Chacham cannot be Matan at that time. Also, Rav Shimon Shkop asks a fundamental question in his Sefer Shar Yosha, Shar Aleph Perek Tazayin. When we learned the halacha of Sofik Tumah, how will we learn the halacha of Sofik Tumah? Is it to be treated that it's a Sofik? But the Torah says what to do in a case of a Sofik.
or is it to be treated as a new halacha? Is it treated as a new halacha that even though it's a suffix, the Torah tells us this is what to do in the case of a suffix? And it's very possible that this question that we are discussing, how to view such a situation, is actually connected to the machlokes of the Rambam and the Rashba. According to the Rashba, suffix derais l'chumra tells us that ever we have a suffix, we have to be machmer. If that's what suffix derais l'chumra tells us, so here when we have a suffix, a soit is a case of a suffix, and the Torah is telling us suffix derais l'chumra. Yes, we have a question. So why did the Torah have to tell us, especially by Saita, if that's the halach in all situations? And one can make an argument that maybe this is the place from where we learned this halacha. There is a halacha that suffik derais l'chumra, but from where will we know that suffik derais l'chumra? We're going to know it from this halacha of Saita, the Rashba is going to tell us. But whatever it is, it's a din that by suffik we always have to be machmer. So it's not a special new din. Whereas, according to the Rambam, who the Rambam holds that typically we don't say suffik derais l'chumra. It's only in this case the Torah says a chiddush, the suffik derais l'chumra. So then this is a special din which is taught regarding a saita, but it has nothing to do with kol ha'Torah kula, how to look at sfeikus.